From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 7th day of June 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vague. She's at Stuart Peterson. A bit later in the program, Gary Schnutke will be here. He's just done a study on the FBFM records looking at the average income farms in the state that are in the FBFM records and the high income farms and trying to figure out what the difference is. There are two major issues. He'll tell us about those. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast with Drew Lerner and World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Yes, it's gotten dry, and yes, it's going to get hot. That will continue to lead the markets and what we talk about here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the Closing Market Report. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 7th day of June, and from Stuart Peterson, we're now joined by Jackie Vakes. Hey, Jackie, thanks for being with us again.
Well, thank you, Todd. I sure enjoy this.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that have been coming out and some of the reasons the market has been moving. Another up move in the market today, they're thinking, you know, drier and hotter weather and those sorts of things. That's pretty easy to understand. But maybe we should put, and because you sent some things to me, some numbers behind this and what things really look like. And I suppose we can start with USDA's crop progress report that was released on Monday.
It was an interesting report. I don't think any big surprises on it. You know, 96% of the corn was planted. 68% was good to excellent. Emergence was 86%. All of that is slightly behind, like a percent behind on planting, that type of thing. So that wasn't a big deal. I think one of the bigger deals is that, you know, where a lot of planting has to be done, of course, yet is in the eastern belt and some in the western belt, too, like Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Kansas. If you look at that, when you look at that nationwide, we've got 3.6 million acres that still need to be planted on corn as of last weekend. Just between Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, that's 1.6 million acres right there. And, you know, the thing is that we're bumping up against the insurance dates, you know. So that's something that everybody's looking at. I'm certain that that's what the market is also looking at on top of, you know, the dryness that they're talking about in the northern tier. On beans, we were 83% planted and 58% emerged. Yeah, pretty good. If you look at the top five rated states on that report, it was Tennessee, Colorado, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Iowa. No real big swingers there except for Iowa. And the bottom five, which I thought was quite something, is Indiana, Ohio, Kansas, Illinois, and Missouri. And so from a rating standpoint, you know, you've got to take it for what it's worth. But, I mean, it's a way to be able to evaluate perhaps where the better crops are versus where the poorer crops are right now at this point in time.
And did you read through the FarmDoc pages? I take it you look at FarmDoc daily fairly often. Did you see the article that Daryl Good and Scott Irwin wrote about the first crop ratings of the season? We talked about that earlier in the week with Scott and how that relates to yields.
Well, I did, and I found it to be extremely interesting, and it pretty much backs up what I've always believed. These really early ratings have little to do with what our yield is going to be, and even though the markets trade them, you know, and because the market needs something to trade, corn's made in July and beans are made in August, and so, you know, that I guess you can boil it down to that. And of course, as we look at it, it'll depend too on how long the growing season goes. You know, that's always the key when you have a wet spring like this. It slows everything down, and what you hope for is you hope that you get a little more time to finish everything off.
Friday this week, the United States Department of Agriculture will update the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. They do that once a month. It's that time again. What do you think will happen?
Well, you know, I think that most everybody's in agreement that the corn production may go down. Not a whole lot, maybe 40 million bushels, 50 million bushels, but that yield is probably going to be dialed back by about a bushel. Last month it was at 170.7. On average, the guesses right now are 169.7. Bean production, basically down just a little bit, and yield down on average about 0.4 of a bushel. you know, we looked at the production, the yield estimates. Let's look at the carryout numbers. When you look at corn for 16-17, they're actually showing a slightly lower carryout, beans a little lower carryout, and wheat almost identical. The thing with corn is, you know, we're still at 2.2 billion. Beans are still at 432 million, so it's certainly not low numbers, but a slight improvement from last month. When you look at 17-18, again, the same type of thing, slightly over 2 billion bushel carryout on corn. The big one is beans. They kick it up to 498 million from 480, and I would imagine that's anticipating more acres. Wheat just down very slightly. And, you know, then if you go to the global numbers, basically corn goes up, beans go up, and wheat stays about the same. When you're looking at 16-17, when you look at 17-18, corn is virtually the same as last month, beans up slightly, and wheat just almost identical. So, you know, you can see why this June report a lot of times is considered to be a pretty big snoozer. You know, it's true. You know, it's somewhat trumped by everybody waiting for the acreage report to come out. But we did do some research on the report, on the June report from 2000 through 2016. And this is a snoozer also. On report day, 35% of the time it's positive, it goes up 11 cents on corn. 59% of the time it is negative, it goes down 6 cents on average. And 2 weeks after report day, 41% of the time it's positive, adding an extra 0.75 cents. And 52% of the time it's negative, losing a 0.5 cent. When you look at beans, 29% of the time it's positive on report day, up 5 cents, negative down 7 cents. And 2 weeks after, this is really a heartbreaker here, 47% of the time positive, up 0.25 cent, and 53% negative, down 0.25 cent. So, you know, it's just a situation where everybody's waiting for the acreage report, and the minute that this report is out and in the wind, it's gone.
It's gone, and we're only waiting, as you said, for the acreage report, which is due out at the end of the month. Any estimates there from you?
Yeah, I do have some estimates for that. And, you know, I think the big question that's going to be around is, will the farmer plant beyond the insurance date if he has the ability to do it? You know, Prevent Plant only gives them 60% coverage. So if you're a producer, you lose a percent for every day that you go beyond the insurance date. So, you know, if you're a corn farmer with 85% coverage, you could plant potentially another 25 days if you felt that a shorter maturity corn could produce more than what the value would be of the Prevent Plant. So, you know, that's the thing that this report is definitely not going to tell us. I've been hearing a lot of estimates, 500,000 to 1.25 million acres less on corn, 500,000 acres more on beans. You know, I think the wild card in some cases is how much, you know, how many spring wheat acres went to corn. And there are actually rumors out there right now that the USDA may up the acreage on the June report just due to the lack of Prevent Plant information. And so it could be an interesting report and a pretty big surprise to everybody if that were the case.
Anything outside of the United States you've been watching?
Oh, Lord, yes. You know, it's one of those situations where, of course, you and I talk about Brazil quite often, and I'm going to talk about it today, too. I think it's interesting. The 17-18 harvest plan is going to be announced this week, and the harvest plan for Brazil basically is the blueprint for the Brazilian commercial agriculture. And, you know, the main component, of course, is subsidized interest rates on production loans and equipment loans. Now, the farmers are pretty upset. The rate is going to be lowered only by 1% from last year. And prime rate last year was 14.25. It is now 10.25. And inflation 6.5 last year, now 4.25. And so, you know, they're very, very unhappy that they're not getting the benefit of the lower prime rate when it comes to their and they're saying things like, you know, this could hold back expansion, all of those things. But I think what really irks them is the rate for family farms, you know, that produce things like rice and dry beans, in other words, you know, edible foods for the local people is only at 2.5%. And any small family farm can get a rate of 2.5% for any investment they make in equipment, et cetera. So you can certainly see the bias that's there in terms of supporting the small family farm versus the large commercial farm. And so, again, you know, after what happened with Temer last week or the week before, they're having a really difficult time finding a candidate who just isn't dripping in graft, you know, to run for president. I mean, public distrust is probably at the highest that it's ever been. I don't think they know what to do. And, you know, when having been to that country and having witnessed the poor situation that's there in terms of what they, you know, what they have to go through and what they live with, you can see why there would be a great deal of anger on the side of the, you know, on the side of the civilian who's living in squalor compared to hearing, you know, that the latest president just got $416 million in graft.
Hey, thanks for being with us again this week. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, too.
That, of course, is Jackie Vick. She's with Stuart Peterson. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by agricultural economist Gary Schnitke to take a look at his latest Farm Doc Daily article. It discusses the differences in revenue and cost for higher and average return grain farms in the state of Illinois. What kinds of things did you analyze?
So we looked at farms or grain farms in a very specific place, McLean County, and we picked that specific place to do away with any weather and soil productivity differences, and looked at what were the factors that differed price-wise, revenue-wise, and cost-wise between the top third farms and the average farms.
And you did this over two sets of years?
Two sets of years. We picked 2010 through 2012, the high-price years, and then 2013 through 2015, the latest years, and we picked that because it's the latest years and because returns have been declining over that time period.
Tell me about the differences in the groups.
So what we found is that there were distinct cost differences between the two groups, as you would expect. $45 higher cost for the average group compared to the high return group. That $45, a lot of it was in two items, machinery depreciation and interest cost. So those farms that tended to be more profitable had lower depreciation and lower non-land interest cost, which are related. If you buy more machinery, you have more depreciation and likely more interest cost as well. Another couple of things that were different between those cost-wise was storage cost and storage at elevators. We saw the high profit groups store less at elevators, and they had a bit lower hired labor as well. Overall, the groups they had usually had lower costs, but those were the cost groups that stood out.
All right, so let's go through some of those. The machinery depreciation, how much of a difference?
So in the 2013 to 2015 period, it was $18 per acre. So the mid-group had $18 more depreciation. That grew from the 2010 through 12 period. There, the difference was only $1. So over that period, those farms that bought more machinery, had higher depreciation, had lower returns in that 2013 through 2015 period.
Did they also expand their land acreage during that same time frame? And as you said, they were related, but were they really related?
So when we looked at acres, the acres increased between the two periods, but the high group increased more than the mid group, so it wasn't expansion that was necessarily causing the machinery depreciation to increase. Go back and remember the 2010 through 12 period, we had a good incomes. A lot of people bought equipment, and the high group bought equipment too. We doubled, both groups doubled depreciation expense, but the high group doubled it more. So increased it more, and those expenses then, or those investments then, become cost in later periods.
How was the differentiation, the storage, put forth?
So when we have $4 of difference in storage cost in both periods. The way these data comes from FBFM, so, and storage is commercial storage costs, those costs associated with elevators. If it's on farm storage, it will be someplace else. But that was rather consistent in what we saw, where farms that had higher returns stored at the commercial elevators less than the other farms Don't exactly know why that is. We're investigating that further. It could be because they had more armed farm storage, or because they just stored less at the commercial elevators.
Any takeaways at this point that we should know about?
The other thing that we noticed was higher revenue, and what we noticed was higher yields on soybeans, particularly. It was a bushel or two between the two periods. And for whatever reason, we also saw higher soybean prices for our high return groups. Puzzling through why that might be, but those two variables also stood out. But if you look at the cost message, it is still the main. If you look at what causes difference in returns over time, it's related to overhead and investment machinery, and those that keep that within bounds generally are more profitable.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That is Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. You can read more from him on the Farm Doc Daily website. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined to take a look at the cash grain markets by Pete Peterson. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, where they make ethanol. Thanks for being with us today, Pete.
Hello.
Hey, so I got a quick question for you, which is, are farmers interested? I know they're interested in the rally. Are they interested in selling on this rally?
Yeah, we had quite a few open orders filled today locally with our basis at 3 over. We had hit the magic numbers of 380 cash, 385, and they got real close to 390. 380 cash has been very, very slippery over the last few months, and one of those benchmarks that once we cross it, guys, we're just want to get some stuff on the books.
And looking into the new crop year, are you buying any corn?
Not as much today as I'd like. We did get some sales done. The futures did get back above the $4 mark, but it seems like, you know, the little bit of a conditions problem we've got with the heat and a little lack of moisture over the last, week or so, and then this new week here. I think guys are a little skeptical, and especially with some of the early planting problems we've had across Indiana.
This weather rally seems to have come earlier than many would have expected it, maybe by a week, week and a half. Does that surprise you, and does it mean it's something other than just the weather, for instance, or the funds liquidating their positions?
I think it's a combination of both, Todd. I think you do have a little bit of the funds, squaring your positions a little bit because they a combination of all the commodities. I think they were near record short. So that's going to be a factor no matter what kind of a move we have. But, right now we get, some positioning with conditions reports showing, where it's not as bad maybe as we were a week ago, but still things in the Eastern Corn Belt is not as rosy as it should be this time of year. And I guess there's a worse time of year it could be dry too.
You said your old crop corn bid was 3 over, but that doesn't seem like it's as wide as it had been. What was it previously, and has it narrowed up?
Actually, no. We were zero basis for quite a while there. We improved to 3 over a week or so ago, and locally the processors stuff are still out there with guys in the field, finishing up planting and doing side dressing. I think basis, right now is being firm to improving just to get corn moving again, along with the board rally.
And finally, Pete, your actual bids for the day.
Sure. Right now at Climbers, we're at 3 over at 387 or 388. And Delphi, we're at 4 under at 381. And on the beans at Delphi, we're at 15 under the July at 916.
Thanks, Pete. Pete Peterson, of course, with the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for the 7th day of June. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner here now. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. For me, Drew, if you could clone this day, just put it out the rest of the way, all the way through fall, it'd be fantastic. However, I bet the crops would like something a little different on occasion. What can you tell me about the upcoming weather forecast?
Well, I think we do have an opportunity for a little variety. Right now, though, with all the short-rooted crops out there in the heart of the Midwest, we are going to stress some crops for a little while. And it's going to get a little scary for a little while because we do have such short root systems out there, and the temperatures are going to be very warm, and we're going to continue in this accelerated drying trend for another week, actually. And there will be a few showers around, but for the majority of the region, we are going to continue in the drying mode. So over the next 7 days, I don't think we'll see a lot of moisture of significance for the heart of the region. And temperatures are going to peak out from Saturday through Wednesday in the middle 80s to the lower 90s and perhaps even a few middle 90s out there. And in this environment, with the ground already becoming a little short of topsoil moisture, we are going to see more leaf curl take place and some stress in these crops in general. And even though we've got an abundance of moisture down a little deeper in the soil, some of these recently planted and replanted crops are going to have a tough time reaching that because it is drying so quickly. And so once we get to the end of this next 7 day period, I believe that the chances for rain become much better, and we should see adequate relief starting to take place during the second half of next week and moving into the following weekend with some showers and thunderstorms possible at that point. So I think there's going to be a lot of concern out there, I think, as we go forward through this period. Now, for those areas that have the crops in the ground, they were adequately established and doing just fine, other than the fact that there's been a lot of moisture around, certainly this environment will benefit those crops to a large degree. I was looking at some percentage of normal charts here in the last day or two. It's interesting to note how much of southern Iowa and northern Missouri really haven't seen quite the abundance of moisture that other places have had. So we'll be watching them also for some potential for a little stress as time moves along. Mm,
other places that I'd like to talk about, because wheat harvest is beginning now. In southern Illinois, I'll take it from what we're having here and what we just discussed, they'll be fine for soft red winter wheat. What about for the hard red winter wheat growing regions?
Well, we're in a good position right now for improved maturation and harvest environment. You know, it's been a pretty wet year. We've had a lot of disease out there. We've had issues certainly with heavy snow just a few weeks ago, and we're going to be in the middle 90s through the lower 100s from Friday into Monday. It's very hot out there, and all the precipitation will end here today and early tomorrow, and then they'll be dry for several days. It's really a good environment, though, for stopping the spread of disease, for accelerating crop maturation, and for promoting some of the early harvest in the South. So I think from their perspective, this all is going to be very good.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us for the day.
You bet. Have a great day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Wednesday afternoon. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason.